January 31st, 2019. It's the Wat Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watford people say, hey, Brother Matt.
Hey, rainy. It's cold and rainy.
The sun's out.
Yeah, it's peeking out.
It was coming down.
Yeah, dude, you were getting soaked when you walked in.
What about the thunder?
Man, it was rolling.
It was pounding, man.
Windows were rattling.
Yesterday, they were saying maybe we get some rain, but it was like, well, I think there's two more
after. A few more days worth.
Yeah, right. So, we start off the show with Bebop from John Coltrane, and then Blurt. With the first song I ever heard by the band Blurt, it was a couple moons ago. I was more younger then. My mother was a friend of Enemy of the People.
And, enemy.
Which segues into our guest.
Yeah.
First time we've ever done this, Watch the Pedro Show in 18 years.
On the hotline.
Is use a smart leash to get connect with London. We got Ted Milton on the line. Hey, Ted.
Well, first time you've ever put a Blurt next to a Coltrane number is in.
Okay. Yeah, it's a first for a lot of things today, huh? Anyway, long time big enthusiast of Blurt, and your music is beautiful stuff. I saw you play with Divine Horseman in the fall.
I was going to wonder about that. Where would that have been?
It was Myron's Ballroom, downtown L.A. Hardly any gigs there.
Myron's Ballroom.
That's right. It was a rare thing. I think it goes back to the Second War, like a dance place, you know?
Well, was that during the Second World War?
Well, that's Myron's Ballroom. Now, I think this gig I saw you at was 1980, so a little bit after the war. But what I'm saying is it wasn't a regular place for gigs. It was a very unusual place for the gig. And I remember the fall singer never turned around. We just got ass the whole gig. He was staring at the
Mark, now deceased Smith.
That's right, right. Pretty sad.
He kicked his musicians around on stage.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of guys. Right. I saw a BBC show about maybe 60, 70 people were in that band.
Wow.
And he'd like fuck with them on stage and shit. But he had some good records. That record Dragnet I thought was really righteous. But anyway, let's talk about you. I want to talk about you. John Coltrane covered that song. Anyway, Ted, what's your earliest musical recollection?
listening to drumming from inside the colonial mosquito net. I was a child in Africa.
Where was this?
Nigeria.
Liberia?
Nigeria.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were inside a mosquito net here in Drummond.
Yeah, that's right. We lived right beside the lagoon, and there was a little up in the lagoon, and all night long there was a sort of demoniacal drumming.
Well, that's fucking happening. In the house or where you guys live, was there musical instruments?
Oh, definitely not. Nothing like that, really. I've just remembered, I think my formative musical experience was before that, and it was actually on your side of the Atlantic. It was in Toronto.
Toronto, Canada.
Where my father came from. And I was also there when I was very, very small. Very small, and I can actually sort of vaguely remember, at least I like to think I can remember, that I sat on a piano stool and fell off it and cut my face on the toe block. The toe block is, do you know what the toe block is?
The toe
block is a kind of oblong piece of wood which protrudes from the base of the piano. From which a pillar goes up to support the keyboard.
Okay.
And it usually has a kind of roller caster or something underneath it so you can move the piano around.
Sure.
And it's got a very sharp corner on it, and I cut my nose right about on my nose to this day from that formative musical experience.
Right. Did you ever learn how to play that piano?
I haven't learned to play anything.
Well, I've seen you work the sax, you know that.
Well, yes, I run my fingers up and down and I'm blowing into it. That's it. I'm actually illiterate.
When did you start playing sax?
About 40 years ago.
About 40 years ago, okay. And,
I realize that might be the case because I've been told that the band started 40 years ago.
Okay.
And I picked up the instrument about 2 months before I formed the band.
Whoa. That's pretty balls up. And you never had been in a band before that?
Never, no. I used to do puppet theater beforehand.
Puppet theater? How did you get into puppet theater?
Yeah, that's what I did for 15 years before that.
Yeah, what got you into puppet theater?
What's that?
What got you into puppet theater?
What interested me in it, you say?
Yeah.
What happened was that people were beginning to get fed up with my sponging style of existence. I never had any money. My narcissism was at its extreme at that point, and as my hair was down to my waist, and I had dark glasses, and I saw the best ones of my generation of starving, hysterical, naked, etc. And I opened a paper and newspaper, and it said they needed somebody in the puppet theater. So I thought that could be interesting. So I went along and got the gig. And it was string puppet theater, a very sort of old-fashioned thing, you know, with marionettes, which were about 3 foot tall.
Whoa.
Carved out of hardwood and broke your back. But I became very sort of fascinated with the mechanism and the potential of it. And so I started constructing my own theater pretty soon after that.
You know, Tito and the Plugs, I think, did puppets.
Pardon me?
Well, we had a band in the old scene, a Hollywood punk scene here called the Plugs. And their main guy, I think he was puppets before he got into music.
So what's the difference between puppet and marionette?
Yeah, what's the difference, Ted?
Well, puppets is a generic name for marionettes, glove puppets, shadow puppets. With puppets like automobiles, you know, it's just a generic thing that describes.
So, same thing.
Marionettes.
You know, I was doing a Stooges gig in Belgium, France, Belgium, kind of border area, where Arthur Rimbaud
was
born.
Where was that?
I can't remember the exact name of the town, but Arthur Rimbaud was born there. And they had a puppet school there, like in France.
Who was born there?
Arthur Rimbaud.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, Starbird or something.
Yeah, I know that maybe I know the gig as well. It's called it'll come to me, something like the Drowning Ship. The Battle Ivre in Mons.
Okay.
Is that it?
Maybe. I do diaries. I could look on my Hoot page and read the diaries, but I can't remember exactly. I just remember in the middle of the town they had a big clock, and they had a puppet come out, a gigantic puppet, like to announce the hours. And there was this Institute of Marionette in, you know, Francais language.
Yeah.
In Burbank, don't they have some Bob Barker Marionette Theater or something like that?
In Burbank?
Something, someplace up in L.A.
Bob Barker?
Something.
Mitchell Mahoney?
Well, they've come to London and they're running the country now.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I want to play. Here's the second record I bought from you. The Fish Needs a Bite. I'm going to play that.
Bye. where there be red, green, action, go, pink, black, pink, power, punch, flow. Rat tail around the floor, a go-go, pigtail and fishnet, power of full blow. Down in tangles, jarred up heap, fights break out, shots are cheap. Roller derby, queen action firm. Powerful legs, jamming the turn. Pivot leads an obstinate pack. Block and blake through for the attack. Solid block sends a girl flying. Anybody can see they're really trying to give out some punishment fierce. A physical armor they try to pierce. Solid walls of bodies jamming through. Fell on the crowd, don't want to be you. Jammer skate, blockers like pasta off a fork. Skaters sling out just on torque. Points are scored when the ladies break through. Points in the crowd when they kick ass, too. Round the oval they scream, a skirt flipping gorgeous stream. Down and dirty but not out, take the win on another bout. Women in my heart, they sure be. Winners in my heart as well. Get them, girls, roller derby, roller derby.
Thank you. look down on me for what I believe. I got my bills and the rent. I should be content. My land isn't free, so I want my new bed in the place of a machine. I refuse to be a slave. This ain't no picnic. This ain't no picnic. This ain't no picnic.
Because that on-air meltdown was the culmination of something that had been building for years, something I never stopped to address. It's something we all battle, whether we have panic attacks or not. Call it the voice in your head.
That's right. I feel stressed.
It's the inner narrator that can control us.
Highly critical.
Get in the way of living the life we want to lead. For Brian Simmons, it was outbursts of anger.
I would act very reactively.
For Becky Schmitz, it was emotional eating.
Eating was like my security blanket.
And for a young Dr. Mehmet Oz, it was a racing mind that kept him from focusing on one thing at a time.
For me, saying a voice in the head is too benign an expression of what really happens. That massive cacophony that we hear, definitely loud.
Does it surprise you at all how much time we all spend fixating on these self-defeating voices we hear?
Relax, but when I do,
will bring it round to you. Oh, keep it on the ground. Stamp it round the ground. When I do.
Pedro Show, Fish Needs a Bike. Here's the story of the title of this. Tell him, Ted.
Yeah, the title was a graffiti that I saw writ large on a wall in Amsterdam, and it said, Fish Needs a Bike like a woman needs a man.
Okay.
But in fact, I found out much later that that was a woman's graffiti, I guess, and that movement had taken it from a Vietnamese slogan, which was read like "A fish need a bite like we need a Yankee or something like that." It was an anti-American slogan, so that's where they took it from.
Okay. I was thinking about Holland. They like bikes. Right? It's pretty flat there.
Well, I think bikes were big in Vietnam, weren't they?
Sure.
With a coolie hat, but hat, yeah.
China used to be big.
Bikes were very popular in Amsterdam as well.
That's
so there
right.
You go.
I remember they tried to do something called
there's a title for your PhD.
Okay. My PhD.
We got PhDs.
What's that, buddy?
We got PhDs.
Yeah, we got PhDs.
Pedro High Diplomas.
Pedro High Diploma. Anyway, after Fish Needs a Bike, we played Setup from I Am the Polish Army. Sexa from Croatia with Pogon. Joe Brewer from Madison, Wisconsin with Roller Derby. Shumsky with Tito. Shumsky was our guest last week.
Great cats.
Think, Ted, you know Cornell, because he made the connect with us.
That's right, yes.
Then we had Eugene Tradborn and Sunwalk. What's that?
Mukvar,
yeah. Great club. I've played there twice. He just sent me a book, like 400 pages. It's incredible. You know about this book?
Yeah.
You're in it.
Yeah, so I haven't read it. I've seen it.
Okay. It's beautiful. It's very artistic. Yeah, it's all in Croatian, though. It's a little hard to read for my stupid self. But it's got a lot of art, a lot of visuals. Then we heard...
Did you come across Igor Hoff?
Well, no, but I knew Igor Vidmar. In the old days, before I met Cornell and stuff, Igor Vidmar used to bring us in through Slovenia. Out of Graz.
All right. So you know him.
This Ain't No Picnic from Sun Watchers and Eugene Chadbourne, Crushed by Pimps, Happier Part 3, Guy by Voices, Flight Bench.
I came across Chadbourne
Yeah.
Once.
Professor Huge.
And he was playing in the same club as us in, maybe it was Zurich. And we came into the dressing room to find him there already, fast asleep with his feet, with his boots stuck in the sandwiches on the right on the table.
Oh, foul. Sorry about that. I apologize on his behalf. No, Bob Pollard has a new album.
Like
there's another Guided by Voices out already. No. This guy puts them out every 6 months. And then Stillhouse Plants from Glasgow with Shoulder Blade. And finally, Giant Lizards on High from Blurt. And I guess this is your latest album for Blurt?
What's that one?
Giant Lizards on High.
Beneath Discordant Skies.
Yes, yes, that's the title of the album, but this too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a live...
You know when you guys did that Myron's Ballroom gig, was that your first time playing in the U.S.?
Myron's Ballroom?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Wow.
It was very bizarre because we had a label at the time, a little label, and they were keen for wanted us to go to America, and so he said we had shows in Los Angeles, and he got the tickets for us, and we went. We got to the. He said, well, "I'll meet you at the airport with the tickets," and we got to Heathrow Airport in London. And he gave us a ticket, and we realized there weren't any return tickets. So, but anyway, we got as far as the airport, so we thought we might as well just carry on and go to Los Angeles. So we went to Los Angeles. And, I mean, you could never have got in today. Obviously, you could never have got in there without a return ticket, you know.
Right, right.
You know, and without a Geiger counter stuck in every orifice, you know, to say the least. But anyway, so that we got in a taxi and said, take us to the Whiskey A Go-Go where we were going to play. So I can always remember coming out sort of being hit by this heat. Fantastic. Then we were in the middle of the hottest time of the year, whenever that was, and we went up to the Whiskey A Go-Go. Taxi pulled up, and they could see they got all the names of the bands stuck up over the club, you know.
Marquee.
Over the in the front of the building, all the acts that were coming down. And there was nothing. There was no. Blurt was not mentioned.
Oh, no.
So I leapt out of the cab, and crossed over to the road, went to the box office, and I said to the woman in the box office, Blurt, when are they on? And she said, Blurt, what's that? and then it transpired that that they'd never heard of us, and we had no booking there at all.
So then we
checked into some infamous, could think of the name, you'd know it. It was infamous. There was a murder there every 5 seconds, you know, parachuting down from the sky like a Magritte painting. It's just too much. And we checked in there and hung about for days and days and days, and even went into weeks. And then there was a magazine there called Slash. Thank you very much.
Right, yeah. Kick Boy, Claude Bessie, and Chris D.
So I had a connection. I had a name of some journalist who was English,
okay,
or something that worked for it, and I spoke to him on the phone, and that's how we ended up playing at Myron's Ballroom.
Okay.
As a result of that gig, we got some good press.
Yeah.
And then Paul says there's enough money to get back to the UK after about 2 months or something.
I thought you guys were great. Ted, can you remember the first Blurt gig?
Yes, I can, yeah. Well, what? I mean, yes, I can, more or less, yeah.
Is it in London?
No, I lived in Stroud, a small town in Gloucestershire for many a year.
Okay.
And it was there. And I had been playing the instrument for such a short time that, you know, my lip kind of collapsed after about 15 minutes.
Oh, no. Was your brother the drummer then?
He was indeed, yeah.
Because that's who I saw at Myron's Ballroom, I think. So your lips collapsed. So was it scary? I mean, what did you have in mind when you started this band?
Well, that's a funny thing. I mean, you know, what's that painting of a woman coming out of the sea with a sort of shell in front of her mane?
Oh yeah, Aphrodite, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I had a feeling that, you know, that I was unique. You know, and that I'd sort of created something that was utterly unique. And then that was one of the first write-ups that we ever got compared the band to James Charles.
Oh, yeah, I saw him.
I went down the record shop and said, play some James Chance. And I must say, I was quite upset because there were some similarities. But I'd never heard of him.
Well, his live gigs
used to... I think things happen, sort of, what is it called? Not gestalt, yes, not sick hire, what's the word? It's zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist, yeah.
Zeitgeist,
spirit
not
of the times, yeah. I'll tell you, he was very... He was very confrontational. Yeah. He used to fight with the audience. And he also had a funky rhythm section. You never had a bass.
Yeah, no, he was much more funk, you know.
Yeah, well, you guys, you never used a bass player.
Only for about 5 minutes, but...
well, that's kind of personal.
Too many people to get into a taxi, and I've got to take considerations.
Yeah, but that poor, lonely kick drum... Okay, we're at the end of the first hour, Ted. January 31st, 2019.
That's all very kick drum. I like it.
Hold tight for hour two. January 31st, 2019. It's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
In my arms.
for Pedro show. We started the second hour off with Blurt doing I Want to See Ella. What can you tell us about that, Ted?
By the way, are you in Los Angeles?
Yeah, in the harbor. It's called San Pedro. We're the harbor part.
San Pedro, what is that, an area of?
Yeah, well, politically, we're part of Los Angeles, but we're like 25 miles from the mayor's office. We're in the harbor. This is where, okay, we're the biggest port now in the United States.
Biggest what?
Port, you know, cans, containers.
Oh, right, you're on the coast, okay. But your accent seems to be more extreme than I would associate with.
Yeah, because I'm not from here. I'm from Virginia. My father was a sailor. My father was a sailor, and that's the other side of the country, and Vietnam was a lot closer to San Pedro, okay?
Your father was what?
He was a sailor. He worked in the engine room on a boat.
Okay.
He's what you call
so
a machinist mate.
Port.
Yeah, so I'm from military. I was raised in Navy housing and stuff.
Wow.
But not officer, enlisted man. He was, I guess Army you'd call him a sergeant, but in the Navy they call him chief. He made it to chief. And he was, like I said, a machinist mate. Anyway, what about I Want to See Ella?
Oh, yeah, well, I have a son who's 7 years old now.
Whoa.
And, yeah, well, don't get your calculators out, please, until I've left the room. Okay?
Okay. Hey, get the calculator.
When he was about five, he was completely in love with a little girl from, well, she was part African, part Russian, Ukrainian, part something else. She spoke, she could speak English as well, but she was about five too. And she was called Ella.
Ah, okay.
And he was completely in love with Ella, and he'd never stop saying, I want to see Ella. So I nicked it.
You ripped off your son.
I nicked the line. Okay. Yeah.
Then we heard some music from Turkey, Gaeta from Kunyet Sepeci, Brain Envy from Dietrich and Barnes, that's John Dietrich from Deerhoof, Stoma out of Rotterdam with Balsamico, kind of like the vinegar.
Yeah.
Brother Matt. And then Once Upon a Dream from Banzai Universe, that's Woody Appelknopf, Nell's Prime cohort, and Needle Drop with Raggedy Ann, and then finally Let Them Be from Blurt. What can you tell me about Let Them Be?
Well, it's a bit of a protest song, really, I suppose, that sort of thing. You know, it's about our, it's about our friends in, the banks, I think, mostly about them, you know. What was the name of that bank that nearly brought the world to a standstill about 10 years ago?
Right. Yeah. What was it?
HSB. It's not the HSB. What is it? Which one was it?
Well, over
if
here.
If I go to the window.
What was the big bank?
If I go to the kitchen window and look out, I can see the skyscraper and maybe see their names still. HSFB. I can see HSFB. HSB. Something Morgan is an American bank.
Yeah, yeah. Ours was the Chase Morgan. Yeah, J.P. Morgan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were...
J.P. Morgan. That's right. It. J.P. Morgan. They're up there, too.
He was a big financier in the old days. He had his money behind Edison.
Anyway,
Thomas Alva Edison. Then he put his money behind Nikola Tesla. He had his money behind everybody.
Playing lots of horses.
Yeah, anyway, it's about those boys, and they're kind of angry.
Fuck them.
an angry piece of them.
Bunch of piece of shit partying in people's lives, yeah, I know all about. But I tell you, right now, I'm very happy to say we got Brother Matt to bring us a spin set.
Cool.
Yeah. but she don't seem to care. Hey, hey, girl, I thought she'd always be there.
you.
That was me. And in fact, last night I played with Pert.
Yeah, figured since you guys jammed last night, I'd bust them out.
Just get this on so we can get...
Bumble. Gravity again.
It should ring when he calls.
Oh, even if you're off?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I dropped the mask at least because, you know, this is a special show. We're doing it via leash.
First time.
And anyway, Perk last night, I got to play with him, with Eric McFadden at the Mint. And there was a little banging came up, and it's probably a closed chapter.
Well, glad I got to see some.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And during the spin cycle, me and Brother Matt were talking about some different eras of banging.
Mm-hmm.
And Money Mark came up because he was part of the first incarnation. And kind of sad, we've lost track of him. Last time I saw, he was helping out these Korean rappers from K-Town. It was in Tucson. Something called Night of the Living Festival. And that's the last time I see Money Mark.
He's always up to something cool.
Yeah, he's an incredible creative cat, but... we got to get him back in action.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll tell you, last night, Perk was on fire. He did this drum solo that was... it was fucking happening. The whole thing, he was on fire playing. It inspired me. So I think Eric McFadden had a lit rhythm section.
Cool.
And there was one cat on Cold Guy, never got his name. But he was bad, too. And, once a year... the Mint, do this kind of thing.
Nam time, huh?
yeah, right. And, Ted's supposed to be calling us back. Ted? It says plus 44. I think that's an England number. You there, Ted?
I've changed my phone.
Well, you're all quiet now. Yeah, can you make your...
Oh, you got to do the speaker right there. Hit that speaker button.
Hit the speaker button,
yeah, right,
Brother Matt?
Top one, yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Ted.
Sorry, we're going to the, without the, speaker.
No, you're okay. Everything sounds good now.
Okay, that was a higher power organizing my life.
That was a higher power. Well, we're most grateful for the higher power.
Okay, I'll let you. I won't let you know that. But can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Thanks for having me aboard. Brother Matt, I want to ask you, what made you do what you did with your spin cycle?
Blame that one on the big man, Nick. Nick helped me out back at Christmas time dropping off some law, so yeah. I've been pumping some law. There were some thrill seekers in there. They're going to be playing at St. Rock's the February 1st. Is that tomorrow or the next day? Wolf Pup was in there. I don't know anything about him. It just fell out of a stack, so I thought, okay, let's check that out. So that's how it happened.
Ted, when you were starting Blurt, were you encouraged by the movement?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm asking you. When you started Blurt in those times, in, I guess, Stroud?
Yeah.
Were you encouraged by the movement, people making bands?
Not remotely.
Not remotely. Okay.
No.
So you felt no, like, sense of community?
I mean, the thing was that I'd become very frustrated in the puppet theater thing. I mean, I was increasingly aggressive
okay.
towards the audiences, who I could not see and who I hated anyway, because by definition, they're a puppet theater, and so I hated them just because they'd done that. So, it was a great relief for me to sort of jump out of the box and confront, you know, boom, see them. It was a more cathartic and a different experience. It wasn't really with a view to making, I don't know, I just needed to do that, that's all.
Yeah. And you didn't care if people were with you or not. I mean, because over here, it was really small, okay, in the 70s.
the movement. And so we kind of bonded together kind of close because there wasn't.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about that movement you're talking about. I mean, are you talking about a kind of like a DIY?
Yeah, punk.
Something like that.
Punk. I mean, that's what we call it, was punk, which is a funny word because.
Oh, punk, yeah.
Yeah, before that word was like.
At the time, I had absolutely no. I really didn't like punk at all.
Yeah.
I didn't like it at all. Bartok, and I liked
Bartok.
Bartok. Very
yeah,
much.
I saw a piece by him, The Magical Mandarin. I think Pierre Boulez.
Yeah.
Pierre Boulez was conducting it. At the downtown at the Woody Bully.
Yeah.
It was pretty intense. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. January 31st, 2019. Special guest Ted Milk, Brother Matt. Hold tight for hour three.
Yeah, well, in a way, I sporadically envy literacy, but I don't think I'm ever going to go down that road.
Thank God.
As a friend of mine who's hemisexual. About something like 80% of the world's musicians don't use notation anyway.
When you were hearing those drums in Nigeria, there was probably no notation going.
No.
Here, let me introduce the show. January 31st, 2019, it's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
She spent a fortune on lipstick on me and a pig with pale beneath the bald boy for pals return his front face to the water. My water more full to the ground in fear, we kept his name carved in a cornerstone. In the face of death, he experienced desire. They threw the switch on the red Norshire hillside serpent, sent from the folds of the curtains. Shaman was peddling the book of the dead, sinking into the vertiginous mire. Through the mist of a billion of lies, this is my private beach, this is my Jatam! She spent a fortune on lipstick on me, a pig with a pearl beneath the floorboards, a pearl in return, a turn of face to the wall. My daughter Maud fell to the ground in fear. We left his name carved in a cornerstone. In the face of death, he experienced desire. They threw the switch.
but I'm different from you now. But these words that I took my mouth, they again as it's in my head. Again as it's in my head. Me again as it's in my head. Well, I don't know how I think these thoughts on this. So these thoughts that flow through my head could have come from you instead. Well, I'm just thinking about ourselves. I'm just thinking about ourselves. I'm just thinking about ourselves. Did we choose ourselves or situations? I am human, a human within an apparently defined existence. When I am approached, I am everything I can become, a fantasy of infinitely stolen truths. In the future, the lesser virtue of the past. In the future, the lesser virtue of the past. And in the past, the freedom fast, but only from the present. In the past, the freedom fast, but only from the present.
Pedro show, we started off the third hour, well, with a little spiel from Ted about notation and music and, yeah, what the fuck. But then,
You listen to the Oath at all, did you?
Yes, I did. In fact, we just played it. It's a live record, right? The Odes. She spent a fortune on lipstick.
It's not been released, but I'm going to put it on vinyl because I was listening to it yesterday. I thought, actually, it's good.
I like it a lot.
Put it out.
What's the story behind it?
Vinyl. Well, it's just me working with this electronic laptop genius called Sam Britton.
Same.
He introduced himself to me some time ago. Wanted to do a project about Samuel Beckett.
Ah.
And I said, forget about Samuel Beckett, do Daniel Harms, which is a Russian absurdist writer, Daniel Harms, K-H-A-R-M-S. And so we did a show about that. And afterwards, we started doing a kind of reconstructions of solo records, the records I'd done with other people.
Can I tell you one thing about Samuel Beckett? Samuel Beckett wrote a book called What? W-A-T-T.
That's it.
I think it was during the Second World War. Yeah, he was doing gardening in the south of France.
Yeah. Yeah, what exactly? So, I started doing live performances of these recordings that I've done with various other people, some, 10 or 15 other little projects. And then we've gone on to write other material, other songs. Writing these other songs. And we've also done an album with Graham Lewis from Wire.
Yeah. Believe it or not, Ted, I just got to make an album with Graham Lewis. And his guitar man, Matthew, the new guy. It's called Fitted. I thought it was so funny. Weird. He had a lyric in an old Wire song where he says fitted. And I can't think of an instance in the U.S. where we would say fitted.
Well, anyway, that album has been sort of sitting on the shelf for about 2 to 3 years now. We can't find
it. I would love to hear it.
We need to find somebody to put it out, really.
Right.
I mean, because I could put it out, who put a bit of promotion into it, if you follow my drift.
Sure. After that, we played Ott from Austin with Anti-Robot, Tollum, Ourselves, Situations, I think he's in New Mexico now, Aliyah from Japan with Muddy Stream, Mold Omen out Baltimore with Witch State A3, and finally, Listen to Me, Shirley, by Blurt. What's up with that song?
South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah, Austin. But what's with Listen to Me, Shirley?
You want to know about that track, Dave?
Please.
Okay. It's about Steve. In Blurt, right?
Okay.
And the drummer, a very dear fellow, Bob, who was drumming for us for a few months.
Uh-huh.
And Steve's very hard to get out of his hotel room in the morning. Yeah. And I'd said to Bob, he's going. The taxi's waiting for us. And so Bob went upstairs. He came back down and absolutely look a very angry looking Bobby was. And Steve had said something sort of fairly kind of to him, because he was still either growing his hair or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was a big tension between these two when they got in the taxi. And when they got out in front of the station, because we travel by train everywhere, suddenly Bob lunging towards Steve with his dumbest fist in his face, screaming, "Listen to me, Shirley Temple."
Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple. So I had to cut it down to "Listen to me, Shirley."
Okay.
So that's the origin of that particular line. Most of the lines have got a little behind them, but it's all completely.
Okay, so you want about to play next?
It's serial obfuscation, I guess.
Sure. I want to play "Look Who's Out on Parole."
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen.
Oh! that yet inside, that's where to hide. Put your breath in the unpacked bed or the ride. Where's the blue gone? Where's the blue gone? The new McLeod run lightweight folding cross.
Show, last music for this edition. Look Who's Out on Parole from Blurt. And Ted can't remember what he wrote it about, but it's a bitchin' song, I dig it. And then we had Groove Creator Method with Sexual Harassment in the Workplace. Remember Phil? He lives up in the mountains and came down with all that.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
he's got his thing going now. He's recording.
Cool.
The National Debt, which is Crane.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Idaho, you know. House of Rumor, and finally, Where's the Blue Gone from Blurt? Do you know what that one's about?
Jesus.
That's okay. It don't matter. What have you got?
I think it's another line from Sonny. I think he was referring to, you know, why is it night time? think that's what he sent.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a blue gun.
Speaking of, you needed a title for a song.
Yeah.
With people in there working, or had to do with these people. They were a big band. On the outside. And there's, I don't know, about a 15-piece.
Yeah.
Based in Liège. And,
Belgium.
Yeah, and they said to me, look, would you write some texts for songs for us? They kept asking me, and they came nearer and nearer and nearer, and I got no. I just panicked, and what I did was I met them and I gave them, I think it was 15 titles. 15 titles. You know, I just made up these 15 titles.
Right.
And I gave, and there were 15 musicians, and I gave them all, each one of them a title. And then they all went away. Each one of them wrote a piece of music based on the title. And wrote it. Song text, you know, to go with the title.
Lyrics,
and then we met. And they had a rehearsal for 2 days and then did a concert. But the amazing thing was that, you know, the titles, you know, and the songs from the title and the music all kind of mostly fitted.
Ted, what do you got planned next?
Pardon me?
What do you got planned next?
Just running around Europe a bit more, and that's it. Yeah.
Like you said, you've had the band 40 years. If somebody younger was getting started with music, what advice would you give to them?
Don't let your daughter marry one.
Okay. Ted, it's been a big honor for me to get to talk with you. And have you on the show, truly. I think you're incredible. Keep on keeping on, please. You're a big inspiration to Watt here in Peter.
It's not too late to come over there and give you, you know, some ears of bashing.
Okay. It's been the January 31st, 2019 edition of Watt Peter Show. Brother Matt, thank you for your always.
Certainly.
Essential aiding. In a betting.
Pleasure.
And once again, Ted Milton, you're beautiful. Your art, your expression, your being is a beacon. And I'm very, very... Thanks again for being on the show, truly. People, keep your powder dry.